Greetings, horror fans, and welcome to episode 217 of Frightmares. I'm your host, Austin Proctor. I almost said Mikey Manshaw, but that is my co-host today, my cohort in whatever you guys say, from the Slashers podcast. Hello.
Hi. No, you're not me. You are not as brown as I am, and you are not as fabulous.
That's true. No, my name is, in fact, Austin. You are Mikey. We're doing Killer Clowns from Outer Space today. One of our favorite movies ever. In fact, it was on our top four on Letterboxd at one point. I changed
it. Is it not on yours anymore?
I changed it so much, but it'll be back on there now since I watched it. So, but wow. I changed my top four like on a weekly basis. I don't know why.
Awesome. Can you say Killer Clowns in Outer Space in Spanish for our Spanish viewers?
Siri. No, I don't know how to say any of that in Spanish.
Silly Austin. I know clown, it's Bayasol.
Hold on. Let me see. Hey, Siri. How do you say Killer Clowns from Outer Space in Spanish? All right, here we go. Well, don't yell it. Oh, Clowns Asesinos del Espacio Exterior. Oh, I don't know if that's right, but that's what's...
Clowns, it's Bayaso.
Oh, I spelled clowns with a K, that's why. Siri's like, what the fuck, you illiterate bitch. Okay.
Payasos asesinos del espacio exterior. But I don't know if espacio exterior is actually outer space, because sometimes terms in English don't translate into Spanish.
Yeah.
It's like literal outer space. But anyways, we're not here to learn Spanish. We're here because it's Frightmares episode 359. Go ahead,
Austin. 359. So this is the end of Arrow August, where we are doing movies that Arrow Video has released. This is your bonus episode, and I'm so excited to talk about this. When we did it a while back, when we were doing like 27 movies an episode, so it's time to give Killer Clowns its own episode. And it is very deserving of that.
Fuck that co-host that was with you.
Yeah, whoever did that with me is probably Gabby. She doesn't listen. she doesn't listen to the show. It's fine. And if
and where has she been? I'm just kidding.
Slacking on maternity leave. How dare she? No, she should actually be back next week for Scream Factory September. So that will be exciting.
Hooray!
So what's going on, Mikey? I feel like I haven't seen your face in forever.
Nothing. Real quick though, was Killer Clowns released on Arrow?
Yeah.
Or is this just an extra episode?
No, it
was. Are you gonna show me?
It was released on Arrow. It's right here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Because I have the Walmart edition Blu-ray, and they have a super sweet cover, and it came with the horror movie poster coloring book.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, but I know Walmart just trap me with everything. They'll be like, here's a new really badass cover this Halloween of a movie you have 8 copies of.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it again just for that cover. And it's not even a cover. It's like a sticker they put on top of the original cover. But anyways.
Yeah. They do that, though. They release, like, every year they'll do, like, 20 movies, and they'll give them all the same, like, style slipcover. Like, they did that this year. And I'm like, I want this, but it's not the same art underneath. It's the it's the regular Blu-ray that they already sell. But it's still pretty cool if you want to collect them all and have them all aesthetically match. So
I'm such a slut for it. But what's kind of new is it's interesting that we have chosen this movie to do at this time, because this past weekend, as I've told you, there was a Killer Clown event in my local city of San Antonio. They had the main actor and actress who play the main couple there signing autographs and stuff, and then they had two of the actors that were actually in the clown suits. So I was going to surprise you and go get signatures and like send them to you. But I was like, let me do some research. And so it was on Saturday and Sunday. And I know a guy that went on Saturday, and I was like, well, how was it? He was like, well, it was like an hour per line, and the signatures were like $40 a piece. And I was like, well, you know what? Never mind. I'm not going.
Wow. $40 a piece. Okay. I mean, that's probably about standard, but yeah, it's so cool though that they have a fucking convention for that every year. I mean, that's how big the fan base is for that show. That movie. Duh.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because like they do these things in San Antonio where like they're hosted at the mall, like the dead malls, and so they're free to get in. But you know, of course, you have to like pay the talent to do what they want to do. But it is what it is. I was like, sorry, Austin, I shouldn't have told you I was going to do that for you, because I ended up not doing it.
It's okay, Mikey. I would not expect you to drop all that money. And plus, It sucks too because you said all the clowns on IMDb and on Letterboxd, they're not even listed as what clown suit they were in. They're all just
Strange title. It's like clown impersonator or something.
Clown performer. Like, what the shit? Why don't you
they have names.
I wonder if they didn't name them until later. I don't know. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of people that don't have photos that are, you know, clown performer, and there's a bunch of them. So I assume people probably did a couple costumes because you can only have so many clowns on screen at one time. But
yeah, and just probably just save money that way.
That's true. Yeah. Well, you were speaking about Walmart 2 seconds ago, which is a perfect segue into horror news, because speaking of movies that they put out with similar art and stuff like that, we are getting Rob Zombie, Saw, Blair Witch, and Leprechaun Steelbook collections from Walmart. So let's see here. Where'd it go? Oh, yeah. So Walmart has just announced some excellent additions in the form of new Lionsgate Horror Movie Steelbook Collection. It drops on September 12th. So that'll be what's today? The 13th.
So the 30th. So it's 13 days away. So yeah, lucky number 13. Ooh.
So 13 days away. And it's going to be doing Saw 1 through 8 collection, Leprechaun 1 through 8 collection, the Rob Zombie Firefly triple feature, Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and 2, and Blair Witch and Blair Witch Book of Chat, whatever the fuck the second one is. I don't know.
It's called Book of Shadows. Throw respect on the name. It's a great movie.
Respect on it.
That was during my goth phase, and there was a goth girl in it, and so I was really into it.
And it's not even found footage, which is so confusing.
Footage, Austin.
Well, it's just weird. It's like The Last Exorcism 2. That one's not found footage either. And that was the hook of the first one. I don't know. Inspired by the artwork of vintage pulp novels, Lionsgate tapped artist Bond to create new key art for the collection. Go get your hands on this Scarathon exclusively at Walmart September 12th. If your Walmart's anything like my Walmart, I guarantee they won't fucking have it, because every time, for example, when I tried to go find you your Skinnamarink steelbook, couldn't find it anywhere, had to order it offline. Went to go find the Deadstream steelbook, couldn't find it anywhere, had to go order it offline. So fucking, they have all this cool shit, but I don't get to enjoy it. Step up your game, Walmart, or Walmart's.
Your Gwaldmar. I really want that Deadstream one, but I feel like there was another Walmart exclusive steelbook release that I made note of in my brain, and my brain's not telling me what it is.
They do a lot of them, honestly, but yeah, there was one recently that is completely blanking on my memory as well, but I'm excited for that. I would probably go buy the Rob Zombie one, but because I already have Saw 1 through 8.
He was Terrifier too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because they were doing, they're doing another one, I think. I'm pretty sure that just got announced, or Best Buy is, or someone is. I wish they would.
What's the 4K?
I wish they would do another first Terrifier steel book, because that one's out of print. It's everyone wants $100 for it on eBay. It's insane.
I know how to make it more valuable, but I also, they need to just put them together on the same 4K.
Hello? That's what, yeah, they should. They should just do a Terrifier 1 and 2. Steel Ray Blue Book, whatever it's called, Steel Ray Blue Book. My dyslexic ass. Goodness, I'm gonna be struggling.
Well, I will say that these covers, I'm looking at them, they look dope as fuck.
Yeah, they look really cool.
I'm going to have to get the Blair Witch Project. I'm going to have to get Rob Zombie's Halloween collection. Funny, because we were talking about that in the
we were
chat room. But those are great. And honestly, I don't have them. I have Blair Witch on VHS, but I don't have Blair Witch on DVD. So this is a great, I don't know if it's on 4K, but honestly, does it need to be? Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and 2. It's funny because I actually like them. We discussed this. I think the second one is completely cuckoo bananas, but that's why I like it, because it's not trying to be it starts off trying to be like the original Halloween 2, but then it takes a completely left turn. And I have the case, but the DVD went somewhere. I have no idea.
Oh, man.
The
DVD. Okay.
So I'm like, well, this is the perfect time for me to replenish my movies and fix that hole I have in my shelf.
Yeah. Well, so I have the Halloween double feature with Halloween 2. Oh, wait, no, I have the other one. I have the Halloween box set. I'm dumb. Don't listen to me. But
now, Austin,
you got to watch. So we talked about this in the group chat today with Slashers. You have to watch the unrated or director's cut or whatever it is of Halloween 2 because that is the superior version. Fuck the director's cut for the first Halloween. I've talked about it a million times, but the director's cut or unrated or whatever of Halloween 2 is ultimately so much better. I actually rewatched that with Spencer not too long ago and wound up enjoying it so much more than I did the first time. So theatrical of Halloween 2007, unrated of Halloween 2 from 2009. Just heads up. So
I will co-sign that.
Next up, you can now watch The Last Voyage of the Demeter at home for $19.99 rental or $24 purchase, whichever you prefer. If you don't know what this movie is about, it is a feature-length adaptation of a single chapter from Bram Stoker's Dracula and recounts the doomed voyage of the Demeter, the merchant ship that transported literature's most famous bloodsucker from Carpathia to London. As you might expect,
Trump. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
I'm bothering you.
As you might expect, good old Dracula gets a bit peckish while making the journey, putting the Demeter's crew in a very dangerous position indeed. Still need to see that one. I was so mad I couldn't go see it in the theaters, but it's fine.
I saw it.
Yeah, I know. You said it was good, and I'm fucking excited. I like that they're literally taking one chapter from the book and making it into a movie. That's dope. That's super cool. We were just speaking of Terrifier a second ago and how they should make a double feature Blu-ray 4K Steelray Blue Book. Terrifier 2 is headed back to theaters with, quote, surprises. So last October, you know, Damien Leone's Terrifier 2 made like $11 million. It was great for the indie horror community. For people today, though, if you missed it in theaters, you can go see it sometime in November. Not sure on a specific date, but the surprises that are going to be in there, we don't know yet. It could be anything. We can only speculate, of course. Maybe this cut will include extended scenes or incorporate sequences that didn't make it into the original theatrical cut. Maybe it'll be a concept trailer for Terrifier 3 or like a teaser trailer. Maybe Art the Clown will burst through the screen on one lucky on one lucky fucking theater. Who knows? Who knows? But
the clown's gonna bust on a lucky audience
member. Yeah, bust through the screen right onto the audience member. Talk about a facial. I see it like
the beginning of Scream 2 where they have like the ghost face things flying over the audience.
Oh my God. Jada Pinkett Smith will be there. It'll be great. I for the love of God, I hope it's not extended scenes. That movie was already long enough. Like, my goodness.
No, I was like, I don't think there's anything they didn't put in.
I'm pretty sure everything made it. I mean, there's no way. I guarantee it's probably going to be like a teaser for Terrifier 3 or something, because I'm pretty sure they're already starting to shoot that movie. So who knows? But now it's like, okay, fuck, now do I go back and see it? Because I want to see this special surprise or whatever it's going to be. One can only hope it's Art busting on a theater member. But I would like to experience that in theaters again because it was a good time. One more thing, and then we're going to talk about the Killer Clowns video game that's coming out. So Matt Smith, you might know him from that one thing he did, Doctor Who, and Last Night in Soho, and Morbius, apparently. And so Matt Smith and Morfydd Clark, the chick from Saint Maud. I don't know how to say her name. I think it's Morfydd Clark, Morfydd. So making his world premiere at the upcoming BFI London Film Festival is Starve Acre, a new supernatural folk horror starring Matt Smith and Morfydd Clark. She was in things like Saint Maud and The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. BAFTA-nominated writer-director Daniel Coco Talgilo, if I'm saying that correctly, will adapt the tale from the 2019 novel of the same name by author Andrew Michael Hurley. The rural horror follows Richard and Juliet, a couple whose seemingly idyllic rural family life in the 1970s England is thrown into turmoil when their son, Ewan, starts acting out of character. The full plot synopsis is, at Starve Acre, the remote family village, archaeologist Richard buries himself in exploring a folkloric myth that the ancient oak tree on their land is imbued with phenomenal powers, while Juliet turns to the local community to find some kind of peace. So I love a good folk horror, and Matt Smith, who's been in a lot of horror movies lately, I mean, Last Night in Soho, and he was in another kind of horror movie. I mean, Morbius was kind of horror-ish. I wouldn't consider it a horror movie, but it's nice to see Matt Smith doing this shit. I like him. He's cool. And Morfydd Clark, whatever your name is. She was great in Saint Maud. I don't think I've seen her in anything else, but did you ever see that one?
Saint Maud?
Yeah.
I saw the first half. I'm not really into like religious psychological horror.
That's fair.
I think it's boring.
And that is pretty much exclusively what that plot is about.
Spoiler alert. That's what Saint Maud is.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, she was great in it. So that's another fun thing to look forward to. Who knows when we'll get it, because the BFI London Film Festival runs from October 4th to October 15th. I mean, if you're in London, go check it out. And we'll see when we get this movie, probably sometime in 2023, if it's doing the festival circuit now. So we'll see it eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I love folk horror.
Yeah.
But everything you just talked about made zero sense to me. So I'm just going to smile and say, sure. I mean, I understood the words you were saying.
Was I reading poorly?
The guy starts acting weird and there's a tree involved and the girl goes to the town to figure out how to have peace. Okay.
I mean, it is
sounds like a tale as old as time, I guess.
Tale as old as time. Yeah, it does kind of sound very vague, but I don't know.
But hey, I'd rather it be that than like, remember whenever I made fun of you for ruining the trailer for the Demeter, Last Sale of the Demeter? Which, by the way, you didn't, because I saw it and that doesn't ruin it.
Oh, good. Okay. I was like, that would be weird to do. And that's like the IMDb synopsis. So that'd be really weird of them to do.
No, that's how it starts off. So you're good.
Okay, good.
I just thought that was funny. I was like, dang, you just give away the whole movie.
And I was reading it and I was like, did IMDb really just give away the whole fucking summary? It's not like I pulled that plot from somewhere. My goodness.
I know.
So, all right. That is all the horror news I have, but I do want to talk about this Killer Clowns video game because it does sound like it's going to be fun. Like I said, I don't know if I said this already before, or if it was before we were recording. It seems like it's going to be another like Texas Chainsaw, Dead by Daylight. Is that how Evil Dead is too? Is that how that game is? Just kind of like you have survivors and you have like attackers?
Yeah. I'll let you finish before I go into my opinion.
Okay. So, Killer Clowns video game, based on the 1980s cult classic. It is a multiplayer, asymmetrical 3v7 horror game that pits three clowns against seven humans. Clowns win by capturing most or all of the human citizens of Crescent Cove, while humans win by either deactivating the clown's big top spaceship, escaping the map before time runs out, or keeping the majority of the townsfolk alive for the entire round. So, yes, sounds very much like the games we've been getting.
Yeah, I was like, this is literally Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Which it's like, it's cool that we're getting these games, but it just seems so formulaic to just kind of release these, because you're just getting the same games type, just with like different stuff, you know? I don't know.
Like, Friday the 13th came out first and did that whole like, well, I don't know, was it Friday the 13th or Dead by Daylight? One of them came out first.
Yeah, those were definitely like the first ones.
Yeah, but I was okay with those two coming out or being out simultaneously, playing both of them. They were different enough to be satisfied to be like, I like both of them. I can be in a mood to play one or the other. Evil Dead came out, and Evil Dead is good because the graphics are a lot better. Oh. And Evil Dead is fucking hard. Like, you have to play with people. You have to work together, but it's hard, even though you're only against one person. So I actually still kind of liked Evil Dead. I just got Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and it's fun. It's different from the other ones because in this one there's three killers, and there's four people against three killers.
Yeah.
And so that one's cool, and that one's very, I use the term realistic loosely. But, you know, like with Jason and Evil Dead, you're coming up against like supernatural forces, Dead by Daylight, depending on who you pick. Like, so, but this one's more realistic in terms of like, yeah, this is probably like, you know, no one's flying in the air, cutting your head off. And so it's like, I'm still okay with it, but I'm getting to the point where I'm like, these games are going to have to do something different.
Exactly.
I think with Killer Clowns, it would be amazing if they actually had a narrative game and then there was like an online option to do that typical 4 against 3 or whatever, 7 against 3. But we need a story. We need to play something like, we need an actual game, not just like an open world, whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you. It'd be cool if there was like typical games, you usually have some sort of campaign and then there's online. But with the Texas Chainsaw, Dead by Daylight, Friday the 13th, for the most part, if you want to have fun, you need to play it online with people. I think you can do Friday the 13th like offline, I'm pretty sure, because I know they're getting rid of the game here soon, or getting rid of the online capabilities. But So real quick too, June 14, 2016 for Dead by Daylight and May 26, 2017 for Friday the 13th, if these are correct. So it does appear that Dead by Daylight was slightly before.
Yeah.
So as far as this game goes, you have, so as a clown, players will have access to a wide variety of silly but powerful tools. Players can select from one of five clown classes, each with unique special abilities, such as a balloon animal dog you can conjure to sniff out opponents, or an AEO LOL attack that heals your allies and debuffs your enemies. So the first one is the Scout, which is Jumbo, who is probably the most famous killer clown next to like Shorty. So Jumbo's a clown of all trades. His Pentashot Blaster is a shotgun-like weapon that you can hit up to five targets at once. He can chase you down and whack you with a clown mallet or make you come to him with his finger lure, which that sounds dirty. I know what it is, but that sounds dirty. Then you have the Fighter, who is Shorty, the clown of Clash. Shorty can one-punch KO any opponent or take you out from a distance with his cotton candy C4 launcher. If you think you can outrun him, Shorty will run you down on his tricycle or pop out of a pizza box, which is super cool. Then you've got the Tank, who is Chubby. This is this absolute unit, in all caps, of a clown uses his unstoppable rage to break through walls while his cotton candy ground punch levels nearby humans. Chubby loves to share his pies, willing or not. One bite incapacitates his victims. Then we've got the Tracker, who is Spiky. Between his popcorn bazooka tracker and trusty balloon dog, there's no hiding from Spiky. He may not be the fastest, but if he needs to get somewhere quickly, he can summon his invisible car and speed off towards his victims. And last but not least, they have Rudy. They don't have Spiky, which makes me, they don't have Slim, who's my favorite, which makes me sad, but that's fine. Rudy is the Trapster. While his brethren seek and destroy, Rudy plots and traps. His baby clown Snake, oh, they're snakes, that's what they are. Evil Jack in the Box and Popcorn Mines will snare any unsuspecting human who triggers them. So those all sound fucking super cool and super unique. So I think this game is going to probably be like very whimsical, you know, and very much like the movie, very silly and fun, but also like badass at the same time. So now you have five playable human classes. You have the biker, you're the baddest of the bad, and everyone typically hates how brash you are. You're not the fastest runner, but your strength lets you carry more and hit harder than anyone else in town. If one of those clowns gets near you, you'll just have to knock their block off. Yeah. Then you have the cop. Being a cop in a small town isn't the action-packed career you imagined. Years of yelling at skateboarders and writing parking tickets leaves you wanting for a piece of action. But they'll see. No one is going to make a clown out of you, especially those clowns, with a K this time instead of a C. Then you've got the punk. Armed with tattoos, cheap beer, and a slightly above-average knowledge of the political machine you are forced to be slightly concerned about. Your fighting ability is only exceeded by your running ability, probably from years of evading Officer Hardass in your younger days, because I don't think they can name drop people from the movie. I don't know because they don't have like the names of the people from the movie. It's just like punk and then the next one like redneck. Ever since Uncle Jim Bob told you about being abducted in 84, you vowed to never let it happen to another soul. Something about seeing him on an inflatable donut makes you weep. Now it's time to make good on that promise. Grab your trusty shotgun and aim for the clown's red nose. And last but not least, we have the teen. Kids these days, you can't throw or take a punch, you have too much energy, and you're always sneaking around. But while you may be everything the older generation hates, you've got exactly what it takes to keep Crescent Cove safe from the clown invasion. Boom. And then there's like a wide variety of guns and shit. You have a cotton candy ray gun, popcorn bazookas, tracker cotton candy ray gun, fighter cotton candy ray gun, and a trapper cotton candy ray gun. Huh. And then they only have one map right now, which is Crescent Cove. I'm sure that there will probably be some sort of added content later on and more maps to be downloaded and stuff like that. But I mean, overall, that does sound like it's going to be an awesome time. I hope it comes to Game Pass because that's what I have for Xbox and I'll just be able to download and play it. But what do you think from hearing all of that wild information?
I think it's definitely steering away from what they're currently doing, which is trying to make a scary game.
Yeah.
I think, which they could have tried to make it scary because a lot of people have a fear of clowns and they are creepy, even though this is considered like a PG-13. I don't know what the term is, but it's not, because it's not horrifying, but it is. Like those clowns, the way they look, if you put them in a movie like the new It, like, that would fuck me up.
Yeah, with those teeth and the laugh. Ugh, no thank you.
Yeah, because they're super scary. But the movie itself is kind of light. And I feel like they're going to go more towards the light aspect. Yeah. Maybe for people that, because, you know, people hate jump scares. And that's what these other games kind of like go off of, is what can they do to make you jump?
Yeah, that's true.
And so, I'm excited to see what it's going to be like. Like I said, I just hope that they do something different enough for, because like right now, I don't really see a difference in playing Evil Dead or Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I feel like I can just put one on. Yep. But because Texas Chainsaw is more famous, I'll probably do that one more right now. But considering I have all of them, I don't know what the benefit of one is versus the other.
That's fair.
I'm kind of hoping they'll like release some stuff as like Halloween comes around, like start releasing Halloween stuff and, you know, Christmas stuff. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it is kind of strange. Like, you have permission to release the game based off the movie with the killers and everything.
Yeah.
But like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Killer Clowns, they're not using the people that are actually in the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they want people to feel like they're their own person in the game and not, you know, Sally Hardesty or Mike Tobacco.
Well, they're using that one. There's one guy, I thought, the guy that was in the van with the knife, they're using him. He's like the only one.
They have,
they have like one, I think. I don't recognize anybody else. Oh, the killers. Oh, I mean, yes. Yeah, they use the killers, but yeah, the people, they don't really use. Yeah, they don't use like the protagonist. It's always the antagonist. So yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if it just comes down to money and, you know, having to get rights from individual people as opposed to just characters.
Yeah.
Because you're getting the Leatherface name. You're not getting the guy who played Leatherface. So I don't know. It's weird. But I'm excited. Yeah. There's no release date yet for Killer Clowns. It's just supposed to come out next year. Obviously, when I know something, I will let everybody know. But it's exciting. I will probably try it if it's on Game Pass. If it's going to be like a $60 game, then I might wait a little bit because it's kind of the same thing. But I do have an affinity for this movie, so we'll see. We shall see. Speaking of Killer Clowns, let's get on to the movie. Have we seen this? Duh. Seen this a countless amount of times. I mean, I did see it kind of later in life. Well, okay, technically this was the first horror movie I ever saw when I was like 3 at my aunt's house, but I don't remember that. But that is pretty cool because I've seen this a bunch of times. It is Killer Clowns from Outer Space, released in 1988 on May 27th of that year. It is rated PG-13 for mild sex and nudity, moderate violence and gore, mild profanity, mild alcohol, drugs, and smoking, and moderate frightening and intense scenes. We are on to the IMDb roundup here. Runtime of 1 hour and 28, but that is a lie because my Blu-ray was 1 hour 26. So IMDb, get your shit together. Listed as a comedy horror sci-fi, directed by a man named Steven Chiodo, who primarily did short films. And the only thing that I noticed that he did was one episode of Elvira's Movie Macabre, season 1, episode 10, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians from 2010, which I absolutely have to see that one. Never even heard of that one. That sounds great. And then we have written by 3 people, the Chiodo brothers, Charles, Stephen, and Edward Chiodo. They only wrote between 4 and 5 things, and the only other one that I noticed that I recognized was Critters 3. And I know Doug loves that movie. Oh, Doug.
Yeah. I do have a funny... So this was, even though this was not our first rodeo with this clown... This was Olivia's first time watching it. My 7-year-old watched it.
Okay.
She loved
it. Woo, another fan.
One of my best friends has twin 6-year-old daughters. And so he was like, yeah, I showed it to them. And one of them loved it. The other one was like, didn't want anything to do with it.
Oh. Well.
So I was like, cool, maybe I'll show Olivia it. And Olivia, I thought she was going to get scared. But we watched it during the daytime, which probably helped. And then at the end, she was like, I hope there's another one coming. And I hope there's more jump scares than the new one. And I was like, oh my goodness. But I remember their story always stuck with me. I don't know why, but I remember the first time I saw it, I was like 8 or 9 and I was playing some game on like Windows 98 and they had like that circus song. And my cousin was like, that reminds me of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space movie. And I was like, what's that? She's like, well, it's a movie about like killer clowns. I was like, oh, okay.
It's very literal. I love the title. I love literal titles.
Yeah. So I was like, I want to see it. Let's go rent it. So she took me to Blockbuster and I was talking to this guy and I was a kid. So imagine like a 19-year-old like punk Blockbuster kid dealing with 9-year-old me. And I was like, do you have a movie called Killer Clowns from Outer Space? And he's like looking in the computer and he's like, let me check. And he's like, no, I don't see that movie in our database at all. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm walking away and I was like, I guess I'll just rent something else. So like I'm in the horror section and like I remember he comes up to me, like for some reason he's mad. He's like, you didn't tell me clowns was spelled with a K. And I was like, bitch, I don't know. I've never even seen this movie.
That shouldn't be the determining factor. You had four other words that were right. The hell, blockbuster goth guy? Jeez.
Bitch, I'm nine.
I'm nine. I'm come on, give me some credit here. Jeez, yeah, that's fucking great.
So he found it and gave it to me, and then I went home and watched it.
So. Nice. So awesome. You tell me spell the K. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You're the blockbuster fucking co-worker here. You should know your shit.
You're supposed to be the movie guy.
Last time I'm coming to this blockbuster. This movie is composed by a man named John Mazzari, a very, very wonderful human being. He has 165 composer credits. He's done a lot. Things like Stealing Lace, 11 episodes of Hoarders, 15 episodes of Impractical Jokers, and Cherokee Creek. I picked some random shit that I wanted to say. Cinematography by Alfred Taylor, who only has 14 credits for cinematography, and this was his last movie, so that's weird. Edited by Christopher Roth, who also edited Alienator, Stealing Lace, Leprechaun 1 and 2, Return of the Living Dead 3, The Dentist 2, Hatchet, Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, and Five-Headed Shark. This man has done some things and some stuff. That is a great fucking catalog there. Starring, which I didn't know any of these people had last names until I went and did this. So Grant Kramer as Mike Tobacco, who was also in Willy's Wonderland as Jerry Robert Willis. I'll have to go back and watch that and see if I can point him out. Then we've got Suzanne Snyder as Debbie Stone, who is also in Weird Science as Deb, Night of the Creeps as Lisa, and Return of the Living Dead 2 as Brenda. John Allen Nelson as Dave Hansen, who was also in 11 episodes of 24 as Walt Cummings, and John Vernon as Curtis Mooney. This man has 213 credits, so he's done a thing or two. He was in Dirty Harry as the mayor and National Lampoon's Animal House as Dean Werner Wormer, which is I don't like that name. Last but not least, Michael S. Siegel as Rich Terenzi, who only has 28 acting credits and did not do anything else I recognize. Estimated budget of $2 million. Could not find a worldwide box office gross. This movie was filmed in Santa Cruz and Watsonville, California. You can watch us on Prime, Tubi, or buy the Arrow Blu-ray. Movies that came out around the same time, we've got Critters 2, The Main Course, Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, Crocodile Dundee 2, Rambo 3, Funny Farm, Poltergeist 3, The Great Outdoors, Waxwork, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Coming to America. A lot of sequels that year. Did you have a specific horror moment? I just kind of had to just pick one, because there really wasn't a lot of, like, horrifying moments. Mine was when they peeled back the cotton candy and there was a face there, because the first time I watched the movie, I was like, oh my. Didn't see that coming.
No, that's a terrible horror moment.
Wow. Fine. You have a better one then.
There are two very terrifying moments in this movie. Probably the only two moments that are truly, like, sinister and dark.
Oh, yeah?
One of them I'm going to save for my favorite kill, but this one is when the clown is outside of the play place of the restaurant and he's trying to lure the little girl out, and she starts walking out.
And he's got that big bat.
Yeah, because, like, you don't know if she's going to live or not. Like, true. 80s movies are fucked up. And so that's, like, to me, that was, like, everything was, like, lighthearted and ha-ha-ha. But then there's that scene where it's like a birthday party and everyone's busy. And it's like your biggest fear as a parent, too, that you're going to be busy at an event like that. And for a minute, you lose sight of your child and she's going to go somewhere that she's not supposed to. And this clown's luring her out. And I don't know. That's what I thought of when you said the lure finger.
Yeah. Come here.
Yeah. And so she's going out there, which, by the way, homegirl, if you think this clown is worth going out by yourself, you need to go to therapy.
He's no Ronald McDonald. He's creepy as fuck. And even Ronald McDonald's kind of creepy.
Yeah. And so she gets, like, basically almost very close to him. And then her mom comes and she's like, what are you doing, you stupid bitch? And she grabs her and brings her back inside.
Verbatim, you stupid bitch.
Yeah. Because I remember seeing it when I was a kid. I didn't know. But then I saw it again as, like, a kind of adult. And I was like, I don't remember what happens. I'm scared.
Yeah, that's true. That's more of just like a fearful moment, because she might die, she might not. Don't worry, she doesn't. But they do. Well, I don't know if they kill a dog, but a dog vanishes. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Pooh gets it.
Pooh Bear, tiny Pooh Bear. My favorite kill: Shorty punching that guy's head into oblivion. That was fucking great. Just completely beheaded, and then his body just folds in half. Solid kill. What about you?
That's a terrible favorite kill.
Wow.
My favorite kill. Just kidding. My favorite kill that's also was in the running as the most terrifying is the cop when he walks into the police station and you see bloody footprints and the cop's standing up straight and he's talking and he has like bloodlines that kind of make the whole, what do they call them? Marionette?
Puppet or hand puppet or dummies.
Isn't that a marionette?
Ventriloquist. No,
that's... Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. It's like a dummy.
Yeah, that thing.
He has the lines that make like a dummy face and he's talking in a weird way and then like the camera kind of goes behind him and you see, is it
Jumbo?
Is it a Jumbo?
Jumbo.
Jumbo's behind him with his hand in the cop's back and he's controlling him with like his spine, mm-hmm. which obviously is like pretty wackadoodly. You can't do that. It's, and then the cop falls over and Jumbo like shakes his hand and you hear like the gore like splatter off his hand. And I'm like, this is supposed to be PG-13.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of shocking that, I mean, there's not a lot of like moments like that, but there are some good ones and it is surprising that it's PG-13.
Yeah,
it definitely is. Yeah, that's a really good one too, especially because earlier in the movie, the cop says something about like, you won't make a dummy out of me or something like that. And then he literally gets made into a dummy. Fucking great.
Foreshadowing.
Right? So we're going to add a favorite into this one because there's clowns. So my favorite clown obviously is Slim. He's tattooed on my leg. I just like him. I like the way he looks. I think he's a fucking savage and I'll tell you why he's a savage later on when we're reviewing this. Favorite clown, go.
Shorty, because yeah. He's so cute. And then whenever he, like when you mentioned when he knocks that guy, what are you going to do, knock my block off? When he has a little bike, he's like, oh, little guy, can I ride it? He's like, no. Can I honk the horn? And he's like,
sure.
He's like, oh, he's nice. And then he's nice until you fuck him up.
Yep.
But he's also really cute, so.
I like Shorty. My favorite character technically is two, because it's the ice cream guy. They're just babbling for fucking idiots, and they just made me laugh the entire time, because they were just trying to get laid at the end of the day. That's all they wanted, and they couldn't even make that happen. Poor guys.
Cancel them. They would be canceled today.
Oh, for sure. Did you have a favorite character?
I did. I like the dreamy ex-boyfriend cop.
He kind of had a good character arc because he was kind of a dick in the beginning, but then he had a great character arc where he tried, you know, he ended up helping save the day. So that he very redeeming qualities right there.
Well, I do like, I like movies, not just horror movies, but in general that kind of puts people that don't want to be together and they kind of have to work together because you have the ex-boyfriend pairing up with the current boyfriend and they're like going back and forth, but then like they're like, okay, fine, like let's do this or whatever.
Just do it.
And so I like it. And so, and I would like, I would like Mike more if it wasn't the way he said cocoon so annoyingly.
Yeah, I noticed that
cocoon,
too.
Cocoon! What? I was like, stop saying that.
Say it better. Say it different.
Yeah.
Let's see. My least favorite character was Mooney. He was a fucking dildo. Not a fan of him. Just a fucking old dick for no reason. Calm down. Yours too? Okay.
Least favorite character, but a very important character that I do not wish was not in the movie because of all the stuff that was done to him. So we're not supposed to like him. We're not supposed to like him and we didn't. So good job.
Good job, movie. IMDb summary. When a small town is invaded by aliens from outer space who are capturing and killing the townspeople, no one takes Mike and Debbie seriously. Why? The aliens all look like... Oh, sorry. No one takes the clown seriously. Why? The aliens all look like circus clowns, use weapons that look clown-like, and all have painted-on smiles. Only a few of the younger people in town realize the danger, and of course, no one believes them. Armed with an ice cream truck, they try and rescue their friends. And the first thing I want to talk about is how fucking much the score for this movie just slaps. Oh my god. I love the like theme music and even John Massari's score throughout the entire movie is fantastic. I think it works perfectly. And that's what kind of makes the movie not so serious is like the music is great and the music is whimsical and it's very circusy. So that's just the first thing I noticed about this movie because it just goes right into the title sequence. There's no like build up. Spot on.
Yeah. I'm like, can we go back to creating theme songs for our horror movies, please?
Looking at you, class of Nukem High as well. I mean, there's nothing better than a song that literally just says the name of the movie over and over. I mean, that's just great. We need to get back to that. I don't know. That's like the 80s. That's like a thing from the 80s. I swear it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So a brief setup, and then we'll just talk about what we love. But everyone, what is it called again? Top of the World? Is that what it was called? Little makeout spot?
I think so. Yeah, they're Lover's Lane.
I don't get that. So what is the thing behind that? You just, everyone gets up there and they just start fucking in their cars. Like, that's so weird to me. Or am I just a prude? I don't know. It just seems weird to be all fucking in your cars 10 feet apart.
Austin.
I also could never do that.
I was going to say, this reminds me of an episode of Slashers. Or was it Cabin Fever? No, it was Slashers. When we talked about some movie where everybody goes into the cabins and they just start.
Oh, like, Cabin Fever. No, yeah. Cabin Fever. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say it happened beforehand. You were like, I would not have a... And I was like, well, I wouldn't have parted with you back then.
That was definitely Cabin Fever, just, yeah.
It's just the concept of... Oh, my goodness. Sorry,
oh, my.
I have a Boston Terrier, guys. Her nose is flat. Everything she does makes noise. To me, Lover's Lane is kind of like... It's like an urban legend. Like, they existed because you knew, hey, you want to go to the top of the world. It was supposed to be romantic. You're a stupid kid. You park a car there. You meet your friends there. And then you make out in the car. I don't think they were actually having sex in the car. I mean, maybe if you had a guy that went, you know, didn't want to go steady. But
maybe if it was R instead of PG-13.
Yeah, but, like, it. We definitely didn't have them when I was going to school and, like, 2002 is when I started high school. They weren't around back then, but you know, you would like go places with your friends and everybody kind of like paired off and you're sitting in on some rocks in the woods and you know, doing whatever it is you want to do. It's part of growing up, Austin. I'm sorry you didn't get to experience being a slut in the woods with other people around. God.
I could also never have sex in the car because I'm 6.5 feet tall. I would need a fucking F-350. There's no way.
And you're not 6 feet tall. You're 6'5"?
6'5", yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so you're not just 6 foot. You're already almost 7. So let's go ahead and paint a better picture.
Oh, my goodness. So you've got all these kids making out in their car, and they see this comet looking thing go by, and of course there's a random fucking farmer guy out in the woods too. So Debbie convinces Mike. She's like, we gotta go after that thing. And I'm like, the thing that's probably an asteroid that's not gonna, you know, whatever. So they go, him and then the old farmer and Pooh Bear go, and I'm pretty sure Pooh Bear eats shit, because the clowns do catch him in a net. You don't see him die, but he gets caught in a net, and then you don't see what happens to him. So I'm going to say the dog doesn't live in this. And of course, Jumbo.
He turns into cotton candy.
Probably. And then Jumbo comes around the corner and uses his little cotton candy gun. But you don't see the cotton candy gun yet. You just see a bright flash of light. And then Debbie and Mike, they somehow find a way inside and they go through a little door. And it's like this giant, like, fucking brightly colored shaft. And it's like, it goes all the way down, I'd say like hundreds of feet. So you get a sense of, wow, this is not how it should be on the inside of this circus tent, because the circus tent is maybe 30, 40 feet tops. And then they come across all the cocoons, which we don't know what they are, because they're just giant cotton candy, like, bags or whatever, until Mike accidentally, or until I think he, or is he Dave? Is he Dave? Which one's the cop? Was Dave the cop? Dave was the cop, right? Yeah. Yeah, Mike and Debbie. Okay, so yeah, Mike rips off some cotton candy and exposes a face, all bloodied and battered, and you're like, oh, we should probably get out of here. But that's when Rudy comes in and gets his popcorn gun, chases them out with it, and shoots a load of popcorn at them, and all the popcorn gets stuck to them, and they eventually fuck off, and they're like, we need to go tell the police. And, you know, Mike is like, they're not going to fucking believe us about clowns, but they do it anyways. And that's when the clowns try to chase them, and then they eventually gather up. It's like, what is it? It's Jumbo, it's Spikey, it's a bunch of clowns, and they're going to go into town. And after that, I mean, it's pretty much just kids trying to talk to the cops and tell them that there are clowns that are killing people. It's just so much fun. It's very goofy. It's very silly. You get to watch these clowns parade around town, murdering the shit out of people, turning them into cotton candy, and then eventually drinking them with the craziest straw I've ever seen. Jealous of that straw.
They're called crazy straws.
So jealous of that crazy straw. But, it's just, I don't know. I remember watching this movie, like, for the first time I watched it, and I was like, it was pretty fun. I was like, whatever. And then upon watching it over and over and over again, I just enjoy it more and more and more. I mean, there's just not much that there's, like, not one part that I'm like, ooh, I don't like that part. I mean, there are some effects that you're like, whew. You know, it was the 80s. They only had, like, a $2 million budget, so you can't expect everything to be perfect. But, I mean, what are some things that you just love about this movie, Mikey?
Honestly, I don't really have any issues with the effects. I thought the effects were good. What I love about the movie is the creativity, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It sounds stupid, but for some reason it works in this movie.
It does.
whatever team designed the clowns are, the clowns are just so, you know, it's iconic. You see them and you're like, okay, I know that clown.
Oh, yeah.
And I know the person that clown killed and how they killed them. Like, it's not like all the clowns look the same. You're like, I don't know which one that is. You're like, oh yeah, there's a fat one, there's a tall one, there's a short one, there's one with spiky hair, and you know, there's the one that was ransacking the pharmacy. And it's just, it to me, I like it because it's terrifying when you're a child and you grow up and you're like, it's actually not that scary. The clowns are still creepy, but it's not that scary, but it's still entertaining. And then, you know, even though it's lighthearted, like I said before, there's parts that make you uncomfortable, like the little girl being lured outside, the dummy scene, but also like when she gets trapped in the bubblegum. And like, I remember it was giving me kind of like a little bit of like heart palpitations because I was like, she can't breathe. Have you ever been wrapped in something and you can't breathe? And so like, you know, things like that where you think, oh, well, like if that, and then the pies melting your face, like that was kind of gross too.
That's a good moment. Yeah. When he's like, what are you going to do with all those pies, son? And they just.
That's not how he said it. He goes, what you going to do with those pies, boy?
Oh, that's way better. Yeah, and then he just gets mad. And then I love when Rudy or fucking Shorty comes over. He's like, "I'm gonna put this cherry right on top right there." And then they just walk inside. Yeah, it's so,
and it's
so
just
good.
it's so campy, but it's also so gory because you have the blood and the flesh melding in with the whipped cream, and then he puts the cherry on top. Like,
oh yeah,
it's just great and creative, and not anything that's gonna make you feel like ugly when you go to sleep, but has enough horror involved to let your brain be creative. Also, a lot of stuff they use the whole like, let's show some stuff off screen. Like when I mentioned when he shakes his hand, the gore comes off, that's shown off screen, but you hear it and it's enough to be like, ew.
Yeah, you just hear the blood just splatter against the wall and you're like, yeah, that's a lot of blood.
Yeah, and it was really smartly made. It is funny, you know, the guys end up finding the girl clowns, the ice cream guys.
Oh my god! Are you Debbie's roommates? Like, yeah, those are her fucking roommates. You fucking idiots! It's so stupid. Yeah. The main
creative good time.
It is creative, and you're right. The clowns themselves, I believe, the Chiodo brothers are responsible for making a lot of the. There's a bit of trivia I have about where most of the budget went towards like the production of the movie, but like I'm pretty sure they did most of the clowns. Right here, the $2 million budget went primarily to on production costs. The clowns and visual effects were created almost entirely by the filmmakers at very little cost. So yeah, the Chiodo brothers, fucking great. And you're right, they're just very iconic. They all look so different. I mean, yes, some of them are kind of the same proportions, but their faces and their hair, they're all different, and they're all so over the top. And like, I'd say the main ones are, you know, Rudy, Shorty, Jumbo, Bibbo, Spiky, and then Slim. Those are like the main killer clowns, but you have so many. I mean, even at that one point towards the end when they're having like that fucking carnival down Main Street, and there's just like 20 something clowns gathering people up and throwing them into this car that they take them to the crazy clown, whatever thing. And there's even some, like you said, some really good moments too. Like the moment when Debbie comes back to her house and she's covered in that popcorn, which is really cool. The popcorn actually turns into those like snake monsters, which you can clearly tell are hand puppets, but that's okay. And there's even when Jumbo takes a handful and throws it in the dumpster out of the Big Top dumpster, and that guy hears something rustling in there, and then it's just like, it's completely off screen. You don't even see it, but you just see him get pulled into the dumpster, and you have no idea by what until you see them later on in Debbie's bathroom. And that was a pretty kind of horrifying moment too, when all those little snake clowns just pop out of her cabinets and out of her laundry. You're just like, oh my god, you might have, Debbie might not have made it, but she does. She makes it.
And then remember the crowd of people that get eaten by the shadow dinosaur? That was cool too.
That's a great one, because that's Slim, and he's doing these little shadow puppets. And it's so funny because he's doing like the most basic like things with his fingers, but he's like, he's making women dance. And he makes a T-Rex that just goes down and eats like 7 people. To which Mike and Dave see in the police car, and they go to like confront Slim, and then he just jumps up into oblivion, and he never comes down. That was great. But that's kind of why Slim is my favorite. There's also a scene where Slim is riding this like fucking, I don't even know what it is, because when it cuts to the kind of poor animation of it, he looks like he's floating, but obviously for, you know, he has to be on something when he's right next to the car. But he's a fucking savage because he just runs that guy off the road and then laughs at him on when his car's on fire. He doesn't go get the body. He doesn't take it back to the ship. He's just like, ha, 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 fuck you. And I'm like, dude, you're a savage. And I was like, I like Slim.
He's crazy. Yeah.
He's fucking crazy. Yeah, this movie's just so fucking wacky. And then you just have Mooney too, not believing it. And even when Dave tells him who was the other guy at the station, because Dave is a cop and Mooney's a cop, and Mooney's still just like, no, I don't believe you. And it's like, okay, dude, you're going to believe him when he comes in. And Jumbo comes in and he tries to arrest the clown and put him in the cell. I'm like, are you stupid, dude? How dumb are you? My goodness. Fucking Mooney. Fucking Mooney.
Oh, Moons.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Mike and Dave, so you have some people getting put into the cotton candy sacks or whatever. What the fuck was Deb put in? What was that? She was put in like this bubble.
Bubblegum.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I wonder, I was wondering why she was, because even when they're back at the ship or with their little tent, there's like three or four of the bubbles. So I wonder what the differentiation is there, because if she was to be in the cotton candy, she would have been dead. So I don't know if they just put her in the, if they just kind of choose at random. But yeah, so Deb is in this little bubblegum bubble. And
my interpretation was that the bubble was kind of like a way to grab her to bring her to the spaceship.
Okay.
Maybe even kill her, because I think it made it seem like there was no like air in there. Like she was already having struggle. She was having trouble breathing. So I think that was my interpretation of it. Was okay. It right? I don't know.
Yeah, she's a lucky one that doesn't die right away in the cotton candy. So she's in the bubblegum bubble. Mike and Dave band together, even though they kind of hate each other because, you know, Dave and Debbie used to date. Mike is the new boyfriend, and Dave's very jealous of that. So Mike and Dave band together. They find Deb, rescue Deb from her bubble. But not before they run into a slew of clowns. And even that big clownzilla at the end. And what I find fascinating about this one is when Jumbo is at the police station and he has Mooney as the dummy, Dave is like, okay, I'm just going to shoot you. Because Jumbo starts to like push the desks out of the way and start to come towards Dave. And then Dave just starts shooting him to no avail. And then eventually he just aims at his nose and the nose pops off. And then Jumbo just spins around into oblivion and explodes. So you find out that, the only way to kill them is to pop their noses, which is fucking hilarious. That's such a fun little thing that they didn't need to do. And of course, he uses that to his advantage later on in the movie when they're being chased by all the clowns and Clownzilla. And I thought it was funny because there was a point where Dave is like, just get out of here, Mike and Deb, just run. And Deb's like, but we could all go. He's like, I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm like, but why, Dave? Why are you doing this? Yeah. And Clownzilla picks him up, and he doesn't have his gun, but he does have his badge that he uses to pop Clownzilla's nose with, which was fucking great. Because at this point, the tent has taken back off into the sky, and the ice cream guys are in there, and Dave is in there. He pops Clownzilla's nose, which in turn explodes the whole thing in midair. So you think that, you know, Dave bites the dust, but somehow him and the ice cream guys survive by jumping into the clown car they had. Makes no sense. Yeah. It makes no sense, but it's so funny that, like, I don't care. So Dave does sacrifice himself, but he does live. So I thought that was so ridiculous.
He attempted to sacrifice himself.
He did. And there's even a moment, too, when they're all running out when I think it was Mike or Dave, where one of them's like, okay, we just saved Deb. There's probably so many other people we could save right now. They're like, we have no time. We have to go. And then they all just explode and die. I was like, that sucks. He probably could have saved a lot more people.
I got Deb.
It's fine. Deb's the only one that matters. But if you were in the cotton candy anyways, you pretty much were dead, because once Mike ripped off that thing in the beginning of the film, they were all bloodied and dead. So only the people in the bubblegum you could probably have saved. And there was not a lot of those. They did have a shit ton of cotton candy, though. Holy cow.
No, I think if you were in the bubble gum, you probably would have been suffocated.
Slowly suffocated to death. That's true. She just got out in enough time. Probably held her breath for a long time. I'm trying to think if there's any other moments that I like besides the, even the first encounter when the ice cream brothers are Which is so funny because they show up to like give everyone ice cream and everyone just like throws trash at them. And I'm like, who's not going to get an ice cream bar? I'd be the first one in line. I don't understand why. I guess people just don't like ice cream. And they have the two girls in the back they're trying to get with. And they're like, hey, they're like, keep your shirts on. We'll go get you all the ice cream they want. Like, oh, we plan on keeping our shirts on. I just thought that little interaction was great. And then they over the speakerphone, they're like, well, that didn't work. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, such and I always goobers. Wondered at the very end, because when the spaceship explodes, you get a bunch of pies come rain down on the kids. But they didn't melt. Oh, no. But then upon this last viewing, I was like, maybe it was just whipped cream.
Yeah.
They didn't melt. They even kind of like dusted it off their face. And I was like, okay, well, maybe they're not going to die.
Yeah, it's so funny because the big top circus tent was probably, I'd say, I don't know, it's probably about 800 feet away and about 400 feet up, but somehow the kids just get smacked in the face with all the pies and whipped cream. I'm like, that was pinpoint accuracy. That was really good. But there's just so much in this movie that doesn't make sense. It's so over the top and it's so silly, but like, I just don't care because it's so much fun and so enjoyable. And I was reading a lot of people that were like, this movie sucks. 1 out of 5 stars. I can't believe this got made. And I'm like, you must just have no sense of joy in your life. It's just a silly, campy, funny movie, guys. I don't know why you have to be so serious about it. God.
They're probably like super young.
Super young, or again, just have no sense of fun and joy. They just like to hate things for the sake of hating things. It's okay.
Sorry you hate fun.
Sorry you hate fun. We'll enjoy it for you. I don't really have much else to say. It's a fun movie. If you haven't seen it, just go see it. It is so much fun. You can see it on Tubi or Prime, or just go buy the Blu-ray. You won't be able to get the slipcover with it because it's out of print, and I had to pay an amount of money I don't even want to say because I'm a whore for slipcovers. It's my lot in life, though.
Is that the Walmart one or the Arrow one?
The Arrow one. I bought them separately, though, because if you buy the Blu-ray and the slipcover together, since it's out of print, people want like over $100 for it. I think I got the Blu-ray for $30 and the slipcover for $30, so I paid $64 total, which is, again, like about half of what they normally run for. So,
yeah,
but it's one of my favorites, so I don't mind. Once they ever release a 4K for this movie, I'm going to buy like 17 copies and then sell them for an absorbent amount of money so I can get back on
having... Put them in a safe for a couple years, and then whenever the cost goes up.
Whenever they go out of print, I'll just sell them for a ridiculous amount of money. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm just going to buy a bunch so in case my friends couldn't buy it, I can just give them to them. If you have nothing else to say, we can move on to some post-review things.
I don't have anything else to say.
It's just so good. Just go watch it. Well, I've got some taglines for you. You can tell me what your favorite one is. There was 12 taglines. I picked 6 of them because I was like, I don't have time to read 12. So, the greatest show on Earth, not just of Earth. Step right up and see the greatest show in the galaxy. Admission is free. Will you survive? In space, no one can eat ice cream. That's my favorite one because it's a play on in space. No one can hear you scream from Alien. Alien bozos with an appetite for close encounters. Horrific harlequins with an appetite for close encounters, and big top, big shoes, big teeth.
I like that last one and the one that you said you liked.
Yeah, I like the big top, big shoes, big teeth, and then in space, no one can eat ice cream. That is so great. Yeah. So, trivia. The scene in which the car is thrown over the cliff was initially intended to be far more spectacular. The car was to fly over the cliff and crash down to the ground. Unfortunately, the sling rope snapped because effects crew member neglected to remove the stoppers from underneath the car's wheels. The result was what is seen in the final film. The car slowly tumbles over the edge and becomes caught on a tree. So much less fun than it should have been. Already read the thing about the budget. Though it was not a hit in theaters, the film has since become a cult classic and made a lot of revenue in action figures, DVDs, and t-shirts. As far as the goofs go, it's pretty much like, oh, you saw a killer clown's hand there, and you saw a zipper here, and blah, blah, blah. And then other just various things. Like the thing I was talking about where Slim is chasing the guy in the car and it cuts to a faraway shot of him just floating in the air, but you can clearly see that he's on some sort of motorcycle. But things like that. Nothing to write home about. Rated 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 3.3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, has a 76% on the tomato meter and a 60% audience score. I gave this movie a 4.5 out of 5. You gave it...
Actually,
I don't know. It's got to be like, it's got to be between
it
a four
has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to, oh, fuck, I don't, I just got a new phone. So, funny story. I broke my phone. If there was a moment in time where you felt that I was ignoring you, I broke my phone, got a new one, set it up for a day and a half, realized I never activated it. So I was just like chilling.
Oh, no.
But I didn't think anything of it because I was getting like Facebook, all the stuff that you just need for internet for.
Oh, no.
Was working. And I was like, man, these telemarketers are leaving me alone for some reason. I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't. But I want to say it has to be either a 4.5 or a 5.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be because I know we feel pretty much the same way. So I figured it would probably be a 5, but I wasn't going to be surprised if it was a 4.5.
I wish I could find out, but I don't have Letterboxd on my phone and my credentials are not working on this thing.
Mikey gave it a 4.5 out of 5, which makes it a Frightmare certified slap. Similar movies according to Letterboxd, we have Slither, Eight-Legged Freaks, The Blob, 1958, Night of the Creeps, and Leprechaun. And similar movies according to IMDb, we have Child's Play, Creepshow, Pumpkinhead, The Blob, 1988, and The Return of the Living Dead. I have some pretty solid reviews. I'm very proud of myself for what I found. I have found some good things. I'm going to end on the best one. But there we go. Okay. Do you have any funny or bad reviews?
I have a review. I mean, people kind of took these reviews seriously, so there wasn't any like slapstick ones. But there's one that just says a metaphor. Well, the title of the film is a winner and the soundtrack is shockingly good. The special effects are great. A no-brainer considering the directors are, in fact, special effects. I don't see where the metaphor is. So that kind of made me like, what?
Are you smoking something, friend? Goodness.
Yeah. And then the other one was something like, just a bunch of aliens clowning around.
Yeah, it is. I love just blatantly obvious names. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. The movie writes itself. Yeah. I've got 3 from Letterboxd and 1 from IMDb. I went out of my comfort zone today. So 2.5 stars from Kara. Why do they look like that? And why didn't Mike get wrecked like he deserved? What the fuck did Mike do to you? Mike was nothing but a nice guy. Gee, maybe you meant Dave? I don't know.
Maybe she watched Halloween.
She's completely got that one wrong. Maybe she meant Michael Myers.
Michael Myers.
Oh, my God. So, 3.5 stars from Zara Gwen. Those clowns look like they'd be fun at parties. I mean, if you want to, you know, get murdered.
A sex party, maybe.
Maybe at Top of the World. 4 stars from Samantha. One of my favorites. The fact that I walk around campus with resting bitch face and no one would know that I'm blaring the Killer Clowns from Outer Space theme song. Fucking legend. Absolute legend. And then 8 out of 10 on IMDb from Matthew Silverhammer. The sexual chemistry between the cop and the boyfriend is so thick you could cut it with a bedazzled knife. The fact that they never end up together is the only real negative here.
That's funny.
Oh my goodness. Mikey, where can people hear the sultry sound of your voice on your podcast?
You can hear my podcast, which is Slashers Podcast, wherever you listen to this fine podcast. Give us a listen.
Wherever fine podcasts are sold. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Slasher app at Frightmares Podcast. Our email is stayspooky@outlook.com. You can also follow me personally on Letterboxd at Dr. Proctor. Mikey is Mikey and the T-Rex. Love that name. This will conclude Arrow August. This is your bonus episode coming out like 3 days after our last episode. Next week starts Scream Factory September. Me and Gabby, ideally, should be doing that episode. And we are going to be doing a movie about an alligator. It is not Alligator from 1980. We've already done that one. So figure it out. You can do it.
I know what it is.
You know what it is. So until then.
If you listen to Slasher's podcast, it's the first podcast episode I showed up on. Go ahead.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. So you can get that information. What Mikey said. Go back on their episodes and figure that out. That should take you probably until the time it's released. So have fun with that. And until then, stay poon. Stay poon.
Stay poon.
Stay poon. Stay tuned and stay spooky. Stay tuned.